Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how'd spring break treat you over there?
It's doing pretty good. We had the warm weather, and then we had that rain.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I could have done without tricking me from 80 degrees to 50 degrees last week.
But Thursday was wet.
I should have known better when they said it was like a 100-year record or whatever, 80 mm-hmm. degrees. So yeah. I should have known better, but I still got my hopes up. So mm-hmm. we'll get through the wet stuff, but the real estate market is not cooling down much. We're still getting a lot of new listings coming on board.
So good.
I'm excited for the pick three later today for sure. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate stories.
Okay.
Now, this is a continuation of a previous story. This is out of robreport.com. This has to do with an exit out of Washington.
Mm.
Our very own Jeff Bezos.
Yes.
Who moved to Miami. And so announced last year, made some big changes that he was leaving Seattle and was moving to Miami. So in Miami, there is this famous, they basically call it like Billionaire's Island. Mm-hmm. And so it's called Indian Creek Island. And there is a bunch of billionaires out on this island. So what Bezos did is he bought out there earlier in August of 23, he dropped $68 million on an off-market property.
Ooh.
on the island, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, but then a few months later, it was rumored he was trying to buy the house next door to it so he could make the compound bigger, and he dropped $79 million on a home next door that was 19,000 square feet.
Wow.
Okay, well, apparently that wasn't enough room mm-hmm. because he just dropped another $90 million on a third Indian Creek Island property.
Wow.
Okay, listen to this score, though. Tax records show that the last time this property sold was in 1998.
Okay.
And the last time it sold was for $2.5 million. Now, they had upgraded it some. They had expanded it.
Okay.
And done some changes to it in 2014. Has 10,000 square feet of living space. It's rumored that he's going to move into this third property. Why they do renovations on the other one. But to go from $2.5 million in 1998 mm-hmm. to have just sold it for $90 million.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible.
Now 25-year appreciation.
That's some serious appreciation. I should have done the calculations on it. I didn't. I'll just say it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at that, he's dropped almost $250 million in real estate to buy up. He now owns, there's only 40 homes on that island, and so he now owns three of them, approaching 10% of owning that. Other residents, you know, rubbing shoulders out there with Tom Brady, Jared Kushner, and Ivanka Trump, Carl Icahn. The list goes on and on. This is a who's who of. They have their own bridge, like to this island on this property. And then if you look at the overhead Google Earth views, mm-hmm. and you want to geek out on some really cool boats, every one of them has amazing boats. I didn't even get into the boats of the island, but it's pretty incredible. So there you have it. Now we need to temper that with some Tri-Cities local real estate stats. The March stats are in, so I always like to keep people apprised of exactly what's going on in the market and some interesting things coming out of this. We've talked a lot about inventory, and even as we started to see rates finally the last month or two trend back in the right direction, getting closer back down 6.5 and hopefully a little bit lower here soon. But that is spurred on because we still haven't had a massive spike in inventory. In fact, inventory decreased last month in March because of increased sales. So We had previously had 731 homes on the market, now down to only 672 actives. Now, our listing sold went from, and this happens if we have an early spring market, which I talked about a few weeks ago.
Okay.
No snow on the ground, decent weather. Our listing sold went from 201 in February to 279 in March. And so when you look at that, only 670 actives, almost 300 solds in our market. We're still looking at just over a 2.5 month supply, which heavily leans towards a seller's market in that case. When you look at that as well, average sold price trending back up from what we had reported in January when we did the year end review. Average sold price last month, $467,000. So still very, very healthy when you look at that. Average days on the market, roughly 56 days. So things still moving in about that two month time frame, but not a lot of inventory. I do expect that to change in the next couple of weeks because generally we will see kind of that spring, early summer market inventory start to come on. But if they keep selling as fast as they are, we might see those numbers stay the same. And so it's still going to be very competitive. Even though rates are a little bit higher, it's very common for you to hear agents talking about multiple offer situations in the Tri-Cities still. A lot of people kind of felt like, well, that went away as rates went back up. But if the inventory hasn't gone up to reflect that, you're still going to see potentially multiple offers if things are priced very, very well. So, John, that takes us to, as we're, you know, everybody's been enjoying March Madness and our March Madness basketball weekend. Well, I feel like we have had, as we wrapped up, I feel like we had March Madness in real estate with the NAR settlement. And that's why we had all the guests on to talk about how it impacted. And so I like to start breaking that down into some details of what exactly that's going to mean in our industry and things to pay attention to a little closer than you have in the past. I got a couple questions this last week, and I always like to prep for the radio show by taking real life questions that come in from clients, past clients, and sellers, and bringing that to the radio show, especially with things I think that'll become more important moving forward. And that is a Washington State requirement. And that is, if you're selling a residential property in Washington State, when it transfers, sellers are required to fill out what is called a seller disclosure statement. So that is information that sellers are giving the buyer about the property that they're going to be buying.
Okay.
Why do I think it's going to become more important? Because as buyers out there look for potentially deals with less representation, or they're not using an agent, or they might not be getting the information that they wanted by having a home inspection, I hope we don't trend that way, but if we do, a buyer needs to pay very, very close attention to what's on that seller disclosure statement. Okay, and this is a 6-page document. When we list a home for sale, it's probably, this is the document that takes the seller the most amount of time to go through and fill out. They usually get worn out by all of these questions that are being asked of them. And so when you look at the importance of it, though, there's a lot of questions in here where people can get caught up. And so what made me want to start going over this was a few situations that we've had happen where people started to ask us information. And the calls that you don't want to get as a real estate agent that happen.
Okay.
One of the calls that came in was, we had a client call into the office and they said, "Hey, I just heard from the neighbors that somebody died in the house I bought."
Oh.
And so they'll call and so they'll say, "That was never disclosed to me during the time that I was purchasing the house." And so that's a very, very common question. And in Washington, when you do the research and look into this, in Washington, the death of somebody in the property is not considered a disclosable material fact. Now, some people might want to if they feel compelled to do that, but there also might be reasons they don't want to. Now, the interesting part about today's discussion on the radio is that I can tell you about things and examples that happen, But a lot of what happens in a seller disclosure statement, if you wanted to get very, very specific, you would have to seek legal advice.
Okay.
Because it starts to get into the realm of this is legal advice on when you would want to or not want to do that. And so, but there are reasons on both sides of that equation. You would have to seek out the advice of an attorney in your specific situation to see if you wanted to. Some people just want to because they feel compelled ethically that they want to disclose that. Some people don't because they don't think it's a material fact and they've been advised by an attorney not to. So you have to look at that situation. But we do get that call from buyers and they'll say, I can't believe that wasn't disclosed to me. Sometimes the real estate agent, there's no way. So when they talk about a material fact, and as real estate agents, we have an obligation with our agency law that if we knew of a material fact, regardless of who we represented in that situation, if we knew of a material fact that was obvious, we would be required to disclose that.
Okay.
So the first thing that comes up is, unfortunately, if a client calls our office in that situation, a lot of times us as agents say, well, I didn't know that somebody had passed away in the house either, because the seller didn't disclose that to us. And so nor did they have to, nor was there a question on this disclosure statement that is going to cover that. So that's a big one that happens a lot of time. Another big one that happens, and then I'm going to start going through some specific questions. A lot of times sellers can get tripped up on these seller disclosure statements. But another one that we've had happen a number of times is there is a question on here that deals with sewer and septic lines. One of those questions that a lot of times people don't realize is, does the sewer or septic system require any maintenance more than one time per year? Well, I can tell you in certain Central Kennewick neighborhoods and certain North Richland neighborhoods, there's a lot of trees.
Yes.
Well, where there are trees, there are roots. And where there are old septic and sewer lines, sometimes the roots will grow through those lines. Rather than replace with a new line that combats that, you know, the old clay lines sometimes get holes in them and then tree roots start to go through. I've been in many, many houses where a seller would say, hey, it's just part of what we have to do. We don't want to pay the $18,000 to replace the line. So every 6 months, we have Roto-Rooter come out and jet the line and clear the tree roots. Well, come to find out, here's what happens. People ask, how do people get in trouble on seller disclosure statements? Well, here's what happens. A seller is just blasting through the questions, not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
They answer no to that question. And 6 months later, there's a backup in the new buyer's house.
Ooh.
And they just think, well, who does line jetting in the Tri-Cities? And they've seen the commercials. So Roto-Rooter comes to mind. And they call Roto-Rooter and they said, hey, I need you to come out to XYZ on Cottonwood in Richland.
Mm-hmm.
And the secretary, the scheduler, dispatcher says, oh, no problem. I see we were out there 6 months ago. Tyler knows the property. We'll send him out. And the buyer is like, what the heck are you even talking about? And they're like, no, we've been out to that property a number of times. So they go back to their seller disclosures and they say, what did the seller put down? Does the property require maintenance every 6 months? And it said, and they had put down no. Now they have a record from a company that shows they surely come out every 6 months. And I think when that client goes, the first thing they're going to call my office and say, hey, I think we've got a problem, if it was a buyer I represented. And then I'm going to say, well, here's a copy of your disclosures. And I see the same thing you said on there. I would suggest you go talk to an attorney now about this. That will be the advice that happens in that situation, because there's going to be facts that lead you to believe there's a situation there.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing that I warn sellers about a lot is to pay attention to how you fill out these documents. Because I can tell you from experience, now that seller probably has a big problem. And if we know that line cost $18,000 to repair, we know that people are going to look at that in two different camps. Some's going to say they might have to pay for it, some not. There is a very, very big difference when a buyer buys a house. If the seller had put on the seller disclosures, yes, it requires maintenance every 6 months. And there, when you answer yes to an asterisked item, you have to explain. And in the explanation, the seller had said, every 6 months, I have Roto-Rooter come out and clear the tree roots. I would, you'll likely have to do the same to keep the line clear. I would say in 8 out of 10 times, that disclosure probably won't kill the sale. Mm-hmm. If the buyer knows about it, they know what's going on, they can budget that they might have to replace the sewer line later.
Mm-hmm.
8 out of 10 times, they're going to say, I have the knowledge, no big deal. We'll make our offer appropriately, you know, maybe subtract a little bit off the sales price, maybe even not. And you move down the road with very clear intentions and everybody has the same information. You won't see that buyer come back when there's an issue. And so from a seller's perspective, I always say you want to be very, very careful when you fill these out and really err on the side of caution of disclosing as much as you know about the property so that you don't have liability later down the road.
Yeah.
And what's interesting enough about disclosures that we see happen, the next most important, the next call that I get that comes in a lot is the very first part of the instructions to the seller say in this document, do not leave any spaces blank.
Mm.
It is yes, no, don't know, or NA, which is not applicable.
Yeah.
So every single question should have an appropriate response.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing that happens to us, here's a great example of what I can give you. The worst call that that an agent can get is there is a question that says, has the basement flooded or leaked?
Mm.
You look across, so a buyer buys a house. 6 months later, they notice moisture coming through the wall.
Okay.
And they go and they pull the drywall off their basement wall. And they see that it's not just cement, but it's been like it's been painted with some sort of, you know, antimicrobial paint, or it has a sealant on it that doesn't look normal. And so now there's a crack in it and water's getting through. Could be the case. So they call up and they said, hey, do you have a copy of those disclosures?
Yeah.
I don't remember there being anything about water leaking in the basement, but it looks like there's been a repair done here.
Hmm.
And you go to that question, 4B, and it says, has the basement flooded or leaked? And it's blank.
Ooh.
No response. Well, I can tell you what likely happened in that situation is the seller was filling out the seller disclosure statement. There maybe had been an issue with a leak. Maybe they fixed it themselves. They weren't sure what to put down. So they said, I'll leave it blank and talk to my agent about it when I see them next. And ask them what I should put down there, which a good agent will likely be very careful about what they tell you in that situation and probably don't have the expertise or the license to tell you what to put down there.
Mm-hmm.
But likely that would happen. And then it's blank and they forgot to talk to their agent about it. And then the agent didn't follow up with the blank before the offer was made. And then the buyer's agent missed it as well. So I tell you, it is very, very like your heart drops when you see that happen and someone calls and you look that up and the immediate question is, why was that left blank? Or did the seller leave that blank on purpose?
Ooh,
These are the first type of assumptions that start to come into play. So sellers, if you have an answer in there, I would say many, many times sellers are afraid to put certain disclosures down. But in many, many cases, if buyers know ahead of time what they're walking into, a lot of times they will overlook those objections, especially in what I just told you,
mm-hmm.
where we're in a market of 672 listings only, which lends itself to be a seller's market with less choices for buyers. If you're going to make those open and honest disclosures, there's a much better chance in a seller's market of a buyer accepting those and then doing their own investigation and moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes out later that it was hidden or missed or mistakenly not filled out, I've seen you're going to be in much larger trouble than if you
yes.
put that disclosure down. So very honest, open disclosures with all of the questions answered. The next one that I highlighted before we go to break that comes up all of the time is one of the first questions about title says, are there any encroachments, boundary agreements, or boundary disputes? And so a lot of times, though, an encroachment can be as simple, especially as if we have an older, say we have an older established neighborhood.
Okay.
And somebody at some point planted trees that used to be on only their side of the property. You're lining the driveway up to the house. But over 20, 25 years, now maybe the trees have grown over the property line and the trunk of that tree is partially now on your property. And you've always known the neighbors that you've lived beside, you know, for the last 20 years, and it's never been a problem. And you guys were both there the day those were planted. Well, a new buyer shows up and a quarter of that tree is over on your property. Mm. There's going to be some sort of encroachment. Now, you could list that and say, in my opinion, you know, the tree I think is slightly encroaching onto our property. Let a buyer know that. Or let a buyer discover it later when they're taking a chainsaw to that tree and the new neighbor comes flying out of their house and asks why they're cutting their trees down and you have a much bigger dispute.
Yes.
So boundary agreements, a lot of times we will see gravel driveways that are shared are famous for this. Mm-hmm. Knowing if that driveway was put on one person's property or the other, split down the middle and shared. I mean, I've seen it all over the, you know, last 25 years. But if there is any sort of boundary agreement like that happening, you should disclose to your new buyer to prevent problems later. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into more, some of the more very property specific questions that trip up buyers and sellers that need to be disclosed to have a smooth transaction moving forward.
Right here on News Talk.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about disclosures in real estate deals. I really foresee this being a bigger item moving forward in the real estate process and just people needing to take really good care of it. And it's a protection item for a seller because things happen with sellers. And sometimes buyers that purchase homes, they don't know that because they've never owned a home before. And so a lot of times we run into things where maybe a buyer thought something should have been disclosed to them and it wasn't. Sometimes it is compelled and required by the RCWs, and sometimes it's also not. And so when I'm really counseling sellers, when I look at that to utilize this as a risk reduction way for you to go about the situation. Usually if a seller has to ask me, should I disclose X? In general, I would say the answer a lot of times is yes, but sometimes I have to refer them to an attorney because there might be a legal reason they don't want to disclose. And so that could be just as important as disclosing. And so we're really kind of balancing that out. Before I jump into some of those specific questions, though, I want to get a pick three out because we have some awesome homes hitting the market this week. And so just brand new on the market. I'm going to take you out to Columbia Riverfront, Chiawana Park, right on the trail, 9720 Schumann Lane. This is a 3-bedroom, 3-bath, 2391 square foot house. Beautiful views of the river. And here's the thing about this. I told you it was Chiawana Park, Pasco, but it's on a half an acre with a huge two-bay shop with a yoga studio attached to it, / office attached to it, which you just don't find right in the middle of city on the river with that type of access. Great formal dining area, gourmet kitchen, granite counters, absolutely wonderful views there. The location, the lifestyle, overlooking the river. That property coming on the market at $889,600. Now, I will tell you, another agent listed the house one door away a couple weeks ago. That went into multiple offers and ended up selling, you know, over list price. It hasn't closed yet, so it's not disclosable exactly what, but I've heard it went significantly over list price. And so this is a great, great property if you've been looking for those river views on the river. One level, great property to check out. Pick number two, 2015 Orchard Way, also 3-bedroom, 3-bath, over in Richland, 2247 square feet, Great, quiet neighborhood, remodeled kitchen and bathrooms, new carpet, RV parking, spacious living room, and a separate family room with a fireplace, remodeled kitchen with quartz counters, and then a gorgeous backyard sitting area with fire pit. Very, very well done. And that's coming in that location at only $440,000. And then a price point that is super hard for people to find new updated stuff in. I'm going to lead with the price point on this. $309,900, 419 South Irby in Kennewick. Two bed, one bath, 1728 square feet with extra office space in the basement. Living room with new flooring, updated kitchen, new cabinetry, updated appliances, large utility room and more storage in the basement as well. And like I said, $309,900. So we're getting a pop of some of that spring inventory that's coming on and hitting the market, even though it's been eaten up and getting, you know, offers quickly and still moving. There's some great options for buyers out there. So you'll want to be monitoring the new listing inventory that's coming on now. Well, before the break, I mentioned and we talked about questions on the disclosure statement and what that looks like. And questions sometimes that trip people up. Before the break, we talked about went over septic and sewer lines being a big one. Another question that gets tripped up a lot of times, and this is a funny question, but it happens, and I get this question all the time. And people, one of the questions is, has the roof leaked within the last 5 years? Well, the question I get from sellers a lot of the time is, I've only owned the house for 3 years, Lance. So I don't even know if I can answer that question. Because how can I answer that question if I don't know if I haven't been here?
Yeah.
So a lot of these questions that come about are generally trying to get the current seller's information, what they know. And I always tell people in that situation, over-disclosure is fine. You could put don't know, and then you could write the explanation. It has not leaked in the 3 years I've owned it. Don't know about the other two. That would be like going next level, filling this form out. Okay. Now, I always laugh a little bit too, because I always say, that's how my engineers are going to fill it out. My, you know, hard charging cheerleader, high energy people might not go into that much detail. And so there's differences. You've got to look at how it's being filled out and exactly what the question is saying. Another one that gets us a lot of time is the next question is, has the basement flooded or leaked? Now, I've had a lot of people say, well, I don't have a basement. And they've come back to me, and I've had people come back to me and say, you know what? I don't have a basement, Lance, but a sprinkler pipe broke 2 years ago and flooded the crawl space.
Oh,
so, you know, what should I do? And what should I do in that situation? And a lot of times they'll say, and I want to disclose it. So the nice part about our disclosures is if there was a question that you thought did not exactly cover that setup, at the very end, there is a full disclosure question that says, are there any other existing material defects affecting the property that a prospective buyer should know about? You can answer yes to that question. And then you can answer. So in that case, I've seen sellers say NA because I don't have a basement as they're defining it. And then the full disclosure question, they put yes, and they've written out 2 years ago, sprinkler pipe busted and flooded into the crawl space. Now, let me tell you the difference of perspective from a buyer.
Okay.
If a buyer gets disclosures and they read on there, a sprinkler pipe busted, the seller fixed it, they dried out the basement, there were no additional problems, and that's what happened. They will write an offer, know that. They might even mention to their home inspector, hey, can you check out down there? The seller notated that there was, and I want to make sure there was no additional damage. Versus not knowing about it, and an inspector goes under there
and finds damage,
finds it and comes up and says, man, there's staining. There's been a ton of water in this crawl space. And we're not sure what happened. And you need to figure out the source of that. Now, that perspective of a buyer knowing and having somebody validate if there's any issues versus discovering an unknown defect during the inspection. I tell you what, it can be the difference between a deal moving forward or a deal falling apart.
Yes.
It's just that knowledge based. It's a very, very big different mindset shift when that happens. And so, you know, I always say there's some ways we can talk about some strategies for how to handle those situations. Another question that happens almost always, we get this from sellers all the time, is one of the questions is, was a whole house inspection done on the property? A lot of times this refers to when you bought the property, did mm-hmm. you, or sometime prior to listing it, at any time during your ownership, did you ever have the entire house inspected? What is that question designed to do? It's designed to remind the seller, was there something that came up when you had an inspection that might need to be now disclosed on this list? And then the one that always trips people up is when and by whom. People will always ask me, well, geez, Lance, I mean, we had it inspected when we bought it because you told me that was a good idea, but I can't remember when and by whom. Now, if I was their agent, likely we have it in our records and we can go back and look it up. A lot of times we have to have clients try to find it in their house sale records and determine when it was done. Usually it's when they purchased it or if they were doing a pre-inspection before listing. What happens in that situation, though, and why people seek out legal advice of whether to have a pre-inspection or not, that's a whole nother show topic, mm-hmm. but there might be a reason not to. And the reason that question comes up is because if you have a full inspection, you might now know things about your house you didn't know before.
Yeah.
And then have a greater level of disclosure that has to be done from your pre-inspection. So there's also some strategies that we could talk about, but that is a question that sometimes trips people up. The other one that comes up that is sometimes people have an answer to or don't know what to put down on the property, you don't want to have a lot of yes answers to the environmental section. There is a lot of nasty things on there, like does the property contain fill material? Is there damage to your property from fire, wind? If we have a lot of yes questions in the environmental, we have probably some problems to talk about. However, the very first one says, has there been any flooding, standing water, or drainage problems on the property that affect the property? Now, this is one where a lot of times a seller will say to me, well, there currently isn't any problems, but for 2 yard seasons, the way my hill was sloped, every time my neighbors would run their sprinklers or they had a valve that would stick, that water would run down my hillside into my lot and wash mm-hmm. some dirt onto my lot. And so you have to take a look at that and say, does this question affect the sale of the property? And they'll ask, what should I answer in that situation? My personal opinion in that situation is you'll look at that and say, well, you did have some flooding water come onto your property. If we mm-hmm. look at the definition of that, the problem's been fixed because you've told your neighbor, or maybe they installed, you know, a safety valve, or however they fixed that issue or adjusted their sprinklers. If it's not happening now, if it is happening now, obviously that's a no-brainer disclosure in my mind. But even if it has happened in the past, that additional disclosure at least would alert a buyer. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be rare that I would see it kill a sale with a buyer, because I've walked through a lot of buyers in these exact situations, especially with how popular it is to have terraced lots in the Tri-Cities. Yes. I mean, if you look around West Cliff, South Cliff, or you look, you know, how these lots are terraced and put in, these type of things do happen. And when it's been disclosed, I rarely see a buyer say, nope, I'm not. I'm backing out because the seller sprinkler sometimes gets on my lot. I haven't seen it kill a deal in that situation. So that's a question where you definitely want to look from a seller and say, has that happened? And if it has, we might want to disclose. There are some strange questions on the disclosures that people always get a kick out of. So one of them that I just have to say, because generally sellers tend to have, you know, laugh with me about this. It's not really a laughing matter, but they can be. And that is under environmental. There's a question that says, has the property been used as an illegal drug manufacturing site? And I will tell you, my more spirited sellers will usually make some sort of joke and say, like, well, Lance, yes, I have been manufacturing drugs. I'm not sure if I should incriminate myself.
Oh.
And we always have a laugh about it. It's, and I hope we're joking. We always have a laugh about it and then say, well, what this is there have been homes that at one point
were a meth lab. Were
exactly, and were rehabbed and went through decontamination and then were put on the market and resold once that was done. That is a material fact that needs to be disclosed. So that is really what it is referring to in that situation. And then there's a funny question about, are there radio towers that cause interference with your cell phone reception? Now, it is a funny question, and almost always that answer is no, but there is a couple spots with radio towers. I've sold houses over the years where once or twice I've seen this be a yes, and I've seen the people say like they had to have a booster.
Yep.
It's very rare, but you see there's actually like a signal booster that you can get, because a few spots people have said, we moved in here and my cell phones didn't work. Like I couldn't get calls on my cell phone. Now, 20 years ago, that might not have been an issue.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, for a buyer, especially if they have four teenagers, you are probably not going to buy that house. And
no.
That is a big, big issue. So that is what we're dealing with on the disclosure side, with questions that can trip up buyers and sellers. Buyers, please read these disclosures.
Yes.
And sellers, please make sure you're answering all of the questions. It will make the process way smoother as we go through things. Well, John, that's all I've got. I mean, I've got about 40 other questions on there, but we don't have time for that. And so that'd be two or three more shows. We're out here putting properties on the market, getting properties sold, and we look forward to being here again next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.